Any thoughts about that? You just want to share about it? Anything you watch that you already faced in high school?
A little bit, I guess. I mean, just in high school, it's hard to sort of stay away from all the stuff that goes on. And that's something that I've struggled with. It's just like trying to stay above that and stay away from those kind of situations.
Have you found that, like, anything helps you
stay? Just, I don't know. Just, like, really being close to God and just trying to listen to Him when those situations come up and stuff.
This weekend, and where my freshman year, I went to a conference was the one guy.
I was the one guy.
These are the two campus ministers, and now we have a staff of 6 or 7. So things have changed. But I just encourage you guys. Just what was said. There's a lot of things that you can do to help yourself. Maybe make wise choices for your campus. You can really like. You may not look at it right now and go, I don't know, you know, somewhere like you said you may encounter in high school, and I remember seeing some of that stuff before I went to college, but a lot of friends, sister, and stuff like that, that we made different choices, and they look back at it and go, you know what, I missed out on a lot. I've got a lot of heartache, I've got a lot of things that the choices really cost me. Whether it's getting caught up in the drinking, rape, pornography, alcohol, whatever. I mean, it goes across the board. You have a lot of freedom when you go to college. A lot of freedom. Mom and dad aren't there to say, hey, what's going on? How are you doing? Or whatever. You're on your own making choices. And if you don't have good people around you can trust and to be real with, Not that it's going to be free of challenges or adventure or whatever, but to walk alongside each other and help encourage each other or something like that. So, go ahead.
I'm Sarah Gleason. I am from the University of Arizona. This is my first semester on staff at Christian Challenge there. When I went to college, my little high school bubble was popped. High school, after just being in high school and going to college, just realizing that high school in no way prepared me for college. That it was a shock, it was almost like a culture shock. I lived with my parents, but most of, I was a full-time student and working, so from about 7 to 10 o'clock at night, I was on campus and then commuting back and forth. So I basically just went home to sleep. My friends, once you get to college, the friends that you've had in high school, if you make the effort to keep in touch with them, you'll be friends. But, if you get caught up in the busyness of college and just this transition, you can end up by yourself sometimes. And that was what happened with me. My friends were, I was the English major and they were the pharmacy, medical, engineering students, and I never saw them unless I called and made an appointment, and we were like, okay, 2 Fridays from now, we'll get up early, go to breakfast, right before 8 o'clock class. And so I got really depressed because it wasn't what I expected it to be. And then you get to make choices. You get to choose what you do that day. You get to choose who you hang out with. You get to choose if you go to a party. And I just got really down, and I think the only reason I didn't, the only reason I'm where I'm at right now is I had an upperclassman friend in high school that was about 2 years older than me, and she called me that whole semester once a week and was like, hey, you need to come to, it was called the Refuge then, but she's like, you need to go to Refuge, I can pick you up, I can take you, and for about 4 months I said no every week. And then I went, I had winter break by myself, and that's when God really got a hold of my heart. And he was like, you need to change. If you don't make a choice to change, it's not going to be good. And so she called me the first weekend in January, and she dragged me to Christian Challenge, and she signed me up for a Bible study. Literally, she pulled me to the table and made me sign up for a Bible study. That changed my life. I had 7 girls that kept me accountable, that really wanted to know what was going on in my life, that really wanted to hear the hard things that I was dealing with and wanted to pray for me, encourage me. And I can honestly look back at that moment and realize that's when God really got a hold of me and changed my heart. And so, really, getting involved with the ministry doesn't have to be, Christian Challenge or the Baptist Student Union. It can be, Crusade, it can be Navigators, and just finding a place where you feel like you can yourself, that you're not having to impress people, that you can just be real in your weaknesses and your strengths, just that you can be, and I found that place where I could be Sarah, in my faults and in my victories. And so I just really encourage you, make your faith your own. You know, if you're relying on your parents or your family and just the faith that they've instilled in you, you need to make the choice to make it yours. And that's when I think you'll really blossom and you'll really, really find out who God is and how He's working in your life. So that's if you can do anything, make your faith your own and obey. It's hard. College is hard. And the other thing I would say is hang in there. You know, hang in there. This too shall pass. Those crazy professors that give you more homework than you think you could do in a day or even a week. And just, you know, realize that God can use you. It doesn't matter what you've done in your past. It doesn't matter, you know, how, you know, unworthy you feel like you are, but God can use you. So just hold on to that hope and realize that this is when you get to make all the choices that really will affect the rest of your life. You know, but just hang in there, trust God, and He's going to bless you.
Well, my name is Al Barrera, and I am currently a Baptist Student Ministry Director at Colorado College in Colorado Springs. I've been down there for, it's crazy, almost 3 years. This is ridiculous. Time just flies and when you're not in school. So just watching people go to school, you're just like, where'd my day go? But I have this tremendous passion for college students, and most of that passion is derived from the mistakes I made in college. I grew up in a Christian home, just got a sweet little background. I grew up Christian home, Southern Baptist Church, going to mission trips, youth group. I know I was involved in like 2 or 3 different youth groups. I was just all over the place. And went to a Christian high school the last 3 years of high school. We had moved from here. I was originally from here. We moved from here to the San Francisco area. So I was going to school in San Francisco. And, I was content. I was arrogant. I thought so much of myself. I was the man when it came to Bible and trivia knowledge. You know, I was like, I could answer the questions. And it's almost as good as with my rock, paper, scissors, right? Yeah. I was really, really good, right? And I got out of high school. It was just before I started college. It was my first introduction. I got a job at a pool, and I was working at this pool, and we had these two older guys. They were way older. One was 20, and the other one was 22. And I was like, these guys are ancient, right? And so I'm looking at these guys, and they're like the super lifeguard. One had been in the Navy, and you know, I was like, ooh, you know, they're amazing. Like, these guys are ripping me apart. They were college students now. They were ripping me apart because I believed in Jesus. Mm-hmm. Just trashing me, right? And I'm standing there, and I'm, you know, Jesus boy. You know, I will defend Jesus because He needs me to defend Him. And I would go to them and I'd go, well, what about this? And what about that? And they'd be like, blah, blah, blah. It's something they heard in a class somewhere, and I'd stop. And I'm like, well, but that's in the Bible. You know, what if I don't believe the Bible? Oh, you know, so it's filling my world just all around. One day they trapped me in the, this sounds horrible, but they trapped me in the locker room. And it wasn't as bad as it sounds. They didn't help me. Or, just one of them was like, all right, let's talk about your faith. And he started again to trash me. And I willingly walked into this locker room. You know, I could have ran out screaming, but I didn't. And I was like, fine, all right, let's talk about it. So we're talking, and he's systematically throwing these arguments at me. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just, you know, each one is like, it's like it's hitting me. And this other guy walks in, another college student that's 20. And he's like, oh, I'm going to play devil's advocate. So I'm going to defend Christianity. He's playing devil's advocate to defend my faith for me. And I sat there like an idiot, listening to these guys go back and forth discussing my faith, but neither one of them believed. Mm-hmm. And for the first time in my life, I realized I was no longer in Christian school. And I was no longer answering them. And I was no longer Al, a good little Christian boy who played baseball. You know, I was Al thrown out in the world, suddenly having to discuss with individuals the intricate beliefs of my life that I had thought I based my entire life and being on with a group of people who didn't share my faith, didn't even respect the fact that I had faith. And I felt so stinking alone. I was around Christian friends. I still had friends. I was still in the same town that I kind of grew up in. But I just felt so alone. So then college starts, right? And then the professors are there. And they're in their classrooms. They are God, right? Because they have heard everything before. And you're sitting there and you're just like, how can you be believing this stuff? And I'm taking a psychology class. And I'm taking this, I thought it was about American Indians, but it turned out to be about smoking peyote in the desert. And I'm like, what is this? And I am totally thrown off guard, right? Like everything. And I find myself distancing myself from my friends, from my youth group, because I wasn't in youth group anymore, right? I wasn't allowed to go back there. The Christian, they didn't have a Christian challenge. They didn't have a BSU. They didn't have navigators. It was like I was looking for something, but at the same time, I didn't want anything because I was so confused about everything that was happening to me. So I began to distance myself from friends, from church. My parents came in. It was a very bold move, I thought, on their part. But they came up to me, I was 19, and they said, we're not going to, or actually I was 18. It was just before I started college. And they said, we're not going to make you go to church with us anymore. And I thought that was such a bold move. They said, you need to figure out your own faith. You need to take ownership of your faith. We can tell something's going on with you. We know where you were. Where do you want to be? And that had to be the scariest thing in the world for them to do. All they were saying, they didn't say they didn't want me to go to church anymore. They just said, you need to be going to church for the right reasons. And so I took a break, and it lasted about 4 years. And in that time, I found myself making choices that were so horrible and making decisions that were not based on what God would want me to do, but were based on what I thought was good or what my friends thought or all these different influences. And at the end of that, at about 22, 23, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, this is not where I'm supposed to be. And it's an amazing thing. People want to talk about Jesus when they drink. It's the most amazing thing. I'd be sitting there, and I would be sitting at a party or somewhere, and somebody would come up, and they're just sloppy, wasted, right? And they're like, so what do you think about Jesus? I'm like, well, where did that come from? I'm like, you know, you're at a party, I know these people, right? But they want to talk about Jesus, and I'm sitting there, and I'm not sloppy, wasted, but I'm sitting there, and I have an answer for him. But I felt like that girl in the video really resonated. Mm-hmm. I felt so unworthy to even tell them about Jesus because I had been running from him for so long. And I start to tell him a little bit, but then I cut myself off because I'm like, who am I? Mm-hmm. Who am I to talk to this person about the joy that they can find in Christ when I'm running from the joy that he has so just abundantly for me? And I'm running for it and trading it in for decisions and friends and people that have nothing to do with him. That are so anti-God that I just was sitting there and I felt even more lost than I did when I first began to run from him. The beauty of Christ is that there's forgiveness there and it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. The beauty is that he is that father, the prodigal son story where he's standing on the hill and he was sitting there and he was waiting for me. He was waiting for me to come down that road back to his house just so I could eat like a servant instead of eating in the pigsty. Mm-hmm. And I saw him on the hill and I saw him running towards me. And for whatever reason, a Sunday morning, and I had no idea what I did the Saturday before, but then Sunday morning, I got up and I said, I'm going to church. And I mean, I honestly do not know why I got up to go to church that Sunday, but I did. And I went and I tiptoed it, thinking I might burst into flames if I said to someone. And I'm like, all right, okay, good. And I sat down and I listened to this sermon, and it wasn't that bad. You know, I'm like, this is maybe a little different than what it was when I was 18. So I'm not saying I ran back immediately, joined the college group, and did it. I didn't. It was a slow process, but I kept going, and I went back again. And I went back again, and there was a certain Sunday where I had the visual of that. And I think it was that the pastor preached on it, or I heard somewhere, it was either that or I heard something on the way in, listening to some radio station about the prodigal son story. And I just saw it. And I saw me. And I saw where I didn't want to be, and I saw where I wanted to be. And suddenly that moved me. It just moved me inside to the point where I said, I can't live like this anymore. And I don't want to go back to what it was, and I don't want what you have for me. And it became submission. And it became that point where I said, Lord, it's yours. Whatever you want to do, it's yours. And after that was when life really started to take place. And the decisions I made were not tainted with the impressions of friends and what somebody might think of me, but what God might want for me. And I can't say I didn't make mistakes after that. I don't make mistakes today. I mean, that's not the truth. I don't.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd love to realize that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I still make mistakes. Thank you so much for that. I wouldn't want you to have the wrong impression. No. I still make mistakes today. And there are things that I've done in my past, consequences of actions that I know I'm fully forgiven for, that are still carried through. And whether it be relationships with my wife, whether it be relationships with my parents, whatever it may be, there are things that I did when I was 18, 19, and 20, and up, that I still have to deal with today, and that unfortunately other people don't have to deal with. So my passion for college students is derived out of my past. It came directly from my experiences, and the hope that I would be able to impact an individual so that they can see, you know what, I don't need to go down the path that I went. I can make a decision now to stand strong and to be firm in my faith and to plug in with a group. And what we do at CC, and I'm sorry for going on and on, but what we do at Colorado College and Colorado Springs, right, it's the Colorado College, just to let you know. Anyways, what we do down there is we deal with a culture that is elitist in nature. $45,000 a year to go there. Everybody's dad is a vascular surgeon. It's easier to get weed on campus and cocaine than it is to get alcohol because it's abundant. I mean, they are just, it's just there. Daddy sends them a check for $1,000 a month to do whatever with, and they do whatever with it. And we have students that are plugged into our ministry that are attempting to find purpose in the midst of a 1,900-person campus where they know almost everybody. And everybody's influencing them to say, come on, come to this party, do this thing. And it's not that unique, it's just a smaller microcosm of what's going on campuses all around the country, but also what's going on in life for a lot of people. There's a saying that says, nobody's an alcoholic until after college graduation. That's not true. It's not true because the alcoholism, the tendencies toward that, start with that first drinking. And for individuals, and I'm not jumping on the teetotaler bandwagon, you know, doing a whole sermon on that, but the idea is that you just don't know what you're susceptible to until you try it the first time. If you know it's wrong, stay away from it. You know, it's not worth it. I mean, there's so many, I'd love to go on for hours and hours, but I just want you guys to know that there are places on campus, there are people like myself who have a passion for you, who want to see you succeed in life and to have great lives, and to know that you're going to make mistakes. I'm not saying every mistake is a huge, you know, like kind of like I did. Not everybody jumps down that path. Everybody makes mistakes of one kind or another. But there are people who care about your lives, who when you make a mistake will be there to say, you know what, made mistakes too, and I love you, and I care about you. Let's talk about how you can avoid that mistake in the future. Maybe there's others we can talk about that you can avoid that you haven't even experienced yet. So college does not have to be this incredibly scary place. I know that it's kind of, you know, sometimes you get that impression where it's just, you know, you walk in and there's like, there's dark music and clouds come in and lightning. Sometimes it depends. But, you know, it doesn't have to be this tremendously scary place. There are awesome things happening on campuses. And some of the most amazing things are happening within these groups like Christian Challenge, like Navigators, like Campus Crusade, with individuals who are bonding together to say that we are going to stand firm in the face of a lot of things around us that are not of God. But we are going to stand firm together, and we're going to have fun together. We're going to love one another. We're going to love people around us. And when we do that, it's going to make the college experience that much more enjoyable. It's something that you can look on in the future. You can look back and you can say, man, that was great. That was an awesome time in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of maybe looking back the other way. So, next.
Thank you. I'm Lisa Angelina, and I go to University of Colorado in Boulder, and I'm going to graduate at some time in my life, hopefully soon. May. But I've been there for a while. I took a year off, so it was amazing, but that's not what I'm talking about. I have worked the youth group for 5 years, I think now. I don't do it anymore. I'm currently not doing it. But I just have a passion for you guys. Like, I love youth. I see myself in a lot of youth, specifically girls, and so I want to talk a little bit about that and what that looks like, the transition in college. I went to high school, and I grew up in a Christian home, and my parents are great. They're still great. That's how they raised me. And I, in high school, had a great youth group. I just did. Like, it was so good, and I had support. I think something that I struggled with all throughout high school and even in college is finding my value in Christ and not in what other people think of me and not in relationships or in my grades or how well I perform my sports. In high school, I did cross country and I did track, and won state my sophomore year, which was really great. Junior year, I got injured and I couldn't run anymore. And I was like, I mean, it sounds so simple, like, oh, okay, you can't run, like, no big deal. It really, like, tore me apart, because that's where I was placing my value. And I've realized that I've done that throughout college, too, whether it be in my grades or in relationships. Time and time again, I ran to those people and I ran to those things because I'm trying to find that worth. And God, all along, it's like, Angelina, I love you. I died for you. Your value is in me, and your worth is in me. And that's what I wanted to pass on to you guys. Whether you are still in middle school or you're about to graduate and go to college, I just want to encourage you guys to remember who you are in Christ. That we are forgiven, that we are loved, that we are bought with a price. And it's going to be so easy, especially when you go to college, and I think it is in high school, and it just gets harder and harder to remember that. Because all around us, we have society telling us what we should look like and what we should be. And what a man is supposed to be according to society and what a woman is supposed to be according to society. But it's so different. It's so upside down in Christ. And I don't want you guys to forget that. I don't want to forget. I'm still working on not forgetting that. And it's a daily thing. But don't forget who you are in Christ. You are strong in Him. You are forgiven in Him. You are loved by Him. And hold on to that. And find verses about that and memorize them and take them with you. That's what I found. It's really helped me. And like you all are saying, find people that are going to support you. Maybe you guys have a tight group now of friends. Even throughout high school, guys support one another and be willing to call each other out on things. Like, it's not about, if you see someone falling, hold them up. Do not let them go and encourage them and call them out on things. Like, that's not always easy, but that's what friends are for. That's what brothers and sisters in Christ are for. And going to college to find that, and something that I found that could just be really good is begin to pray now for going to college. Begin to pray right now that God would place people in your life that will support you. Because I know it can be a really scary thing, especially if you don't know people. Like, you are going to college. He'll be so faithful to provide that for you. And when you get there, look for them and get plugged in right away. And don't worry about being perfect, guys. It's not about putting on a show. It's not about being a perfect Christian. It's just about being real with God and with each other. So I want to encourage you guys with that. And I know we've talked for a while, but I hope you guys have taken something away. It's been really good. So if you have any questions for us, you can ask specific people, or you can just ask us in general if you have any questions on this. I'll laugh when you have to. I'm just kind of okay.
I have a question for you. what are your expectations? Like, what college would you like? Is it like the video, or is it? I mean, what are your personal expectations? What do you think college is like? You have to answer those.
It's my personal expectations. I've always been what I've seen through the students in our college ministry at Northwestern State. Like, why would I even want to do it any other way? I just see so much happiness and fellowship, and it's like it's perfect. I have the Nexus State DSU. And so I've always pictured myself doing exactly what I've seen growing up, and going on missions, being discipled, hanging around the BSU every day, all day.
They are accepting applications at the Colorado College.
Really?
Yeah, bring the brochure. anybody else? Expectations? What do you think? Kind of a broad question.
I don't know. I guess all of us were like all directors' kids, pretty much. So, I don't know. We just kind of been raised like that, and that I can't really think of college any other way. I mean, other kids like in high school, they think of it as like party schools and stuff like that. But I can't think of that because, I mean, we've been raised, like you said, just grew up through BSU and stuff, that we're just around that environment, like that atmosphere and stuff. And so it's just, yeah, it's hard to think of it any other way. So hopefully we can kind of be like the students now and how they are and get involved. So.
For me, I guess I've always seen it as a place just to go and like have fun and party until like the last year, where I've been around this kind of atmosphere more, and I've really seen that it's just a better way, and yeah, I guess I've grown a lot in the last year. It's changed my expectations.
Well, I kind of think that as, I don't know what exactly to expect, but I know it's going to be a shock to a lot of people, and maybe even myself, just because I know like my senior year right now is kind of a breeze, and so I know that it's going to be, I mean, depending on the person, it's going to be challenging and stuff, but I'm definitely encouraged by like coming to things like this, just because like I see that there are opportunities to get involved, and so I see it as one huge choice, like a world of choices, where it's like, if you're willing to make those choices, like, God will definitely be there to stand by you and guide you through that. I mean, even if you make bad choices, he'll be there, but it's up to you. Like, I see that as, like, a world of my choices, and if I can just, like, find those people to encourage me and hold me accountable, then, I don't know, I expect it to be a really cool place where God's going to open up a lot of opportunities for me to be used and stuff, so.
She's not a director's kid.
I think like many of you, I probably my dad's a pastor. I grew up moving all over the place, pretty consistently, and I felt like, you know, I felt like, well, I'm going to be probably pretty prepared because I've had a change in an environment about every 2 years at least, you know, pretty consistent. When I got to college, it was different, I guess. Like I always grew up even through high school, my passion was I want everybody else to see that it's not a believer, that it can be fun. And I hope for you guys right now, I hope that you guys are finding, not that you're like, man, because, you know, my parents do this, and so this is just, I'm used to it, I do it. I hope you guys are finding something exciting in where you are right now. Because when you get to college, I could give probably a lot of the same answers that you guys have, your expectations or whatever, because this is what I want to do, this is where my heart's at. But those choices and those things that you want will get challenged, and it'll get more difficult. And you have to find your faith. You have to own it, because if you don't own it, something's going to try to own you. And you can come to college and you can have a blast and not have to look back and go, God, why did I do this? You know, I got some girl pregnant, or I partied a semester away and my grades are terrible. Believe me, I'm a testimony and a witness to the fact that you don't have to go out and party just to screw up your grades. You can have fun. You can hang out with friends. Your grades can still suck. It's possible. I've done it. But you can still graduate. God is faithful. But it will, man. I remember being a junior in high school, and a guy that was 27 years old, which, like, basically, like, we're flip-flopping spots. I'm 27 now. And I remember him talking about his journey, and I was like, oh, man, I'd never do that. I'd never do that. You know, I'm strong in this. You know, I believe this. These are my convictions. This is it. This is this. And I look back and I go, wow. You know, he's experienced a lot more life than I have, and I should have listened a little more, because it gets more difficult. You know, when we're with our parents and stuff like that, not to my parents. My parents did not shelter me by any means. But it gets more challenging. You become on your own. I grew up pretty independent, you know, as far as, like, my parents didn't worry about me a whole lot. But it gets more difficult. It does. And you have to be smart, man. I hope that you guys, especially you guys that are seniors, that you know, you go and you start looking. And I don't know where you guys know you're going to college yet or whatever, but you know, if you're looking to go to a Bible school or a private school or whatever, you know, or a state school, whatever it is, it's not going to matter. You're not going to run away from partying and drugs and stuff like that. It's in both places. So if you think you're going to protect yourself from that, wrong. It exists, and it's just maybe in a different environment. It will challenge you, and just don't believe that if you choose to go to Bible school or something like that, that it's not going to be that you're going to protect yourself from that. The reality is that sin is everywhere, and it doesn't matter if it's a Bible school or state school. It's got a reputation for weed, cocaine, or beer, or whatever. It doesn't matter.
That was one of my students' biggest shocks. She went to what was known to her as a Christian college, and everything that she thought was not going to be.
It's OBU. You know, everybody knows what OBU is, whatever. I mean, you go to Colorado Christian, my sister went to a school in Texas. Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter. It's there. It's there. It's just a matter of you can go to CU, you know, that's known as a pretty liberal school. You can go anywhere. It comes down to you making a choice of what your life wants to be, what you want to be a part of while you're on campus, what your life wants to reflect. So, you know, you guys, you know, sitting here that are 17 or whatever, I was there 10 years ago, and I was like, yeah, man, it's going to be easier, you know. I don't know, he's made different choices, but I look back and I'm like, I think he was wise, because he was 10 years older than I was. And you got to surround yourself with people that want to grow and want to be honest with you and stuff.
One thing I would say is, regardless of your major, know why you believe what you believe. 1 Peter 3:15 says, you know, be prepared to share the hope that you have and why you have it with others. That's my paraphrase. But, you know, it doesn't matter if you're going to med school or if you're going into a fine arts college or whatever, your professors, your students, they're going to want to know why you believe what you believe. And so don't fool yourself that you can use the church, you know, Sunday school answers and that's fine. You know, it's not going to work. They think differently. They have a different perspective. And I think that really was a shock for me that I went to college and people, just like you said, they're going to challenge you. They don't like what you believe. They don't like what it means for them. And they want to prove you wrong. And that's either going to come through I had professors that once they knew I was a Christian, they would make a big deal about, oh, you didn't turn your paper in. They would watch me because they wanted to see me fail. And it's not to scare you, but it's to make you realize that, you know, I can't remember which speaker said, but you're going to be a witness regardless if you want to be or not. And so even if it's your testimony, the best thing you can have is to be able to feel like you can share your testimony. That is the most powerful thing that you can share with people on your campus, in your dorms, in your classes, and your professors. I've had some of the best conversations with professors just with my testimony alone. And I know that was a God thing, that wasn't me. And so another thing I'd say is be available. You know, be available and be aware that God might call you to share. And that could be in a dorm room with your roommate, or that could be on the bus or a shuttle somewhere, or that could be in your class. So just be prepared, and it won't be such a shock.
I think with that, I mean, the idea of looking at college life as some kind of, you know, I mean, it is going to be unique to what high school, what middle school, what you've had before. But in reality, it's just life. You know, it's the beauty of college life is that you have this like kind of intimate support system available. When you get out of college and you get a job and, you know, start looking towards relationships leading to marriage and different things, all those grown up things, right? Things get busy, things get much more scattered, you have much less time than you will in high school or college to form those deep, intimate relationships. And it was like somebody said in the video, you know, I know these are going to be relationships that I have for life because, you know, there's been time taken to get to know each other. And unfortunately, life after college often is so busy that you don't have time to make relationships with so many different types of people. You start honing it down to maybe a smaller group or those individuals in a church group or a Sunday school or something. But there's still all kinds of stuff going on during the week that really distract more than anything. So it just my thing is don't think about college life as like a different life. Just think of it as life and realize that the training you receive in college from whatever group you're a part of will apply and does apply to every aspect of your life. And that ministry is ministry is ministry. It's all ministry. And be available. Like, I'm sorry, what's your name?
Sarah
said, you know, be available because it's you won't have the opportunities ever again to do what you do in college. It's a really, really, and take somebody who missed a lot of opportunities. But that idea of you'll never again have those opportunities to be that close to people, to be that centrally located with a ton of individuals about your same age. It'll never happen again. So enjoy it while it's there and take advantage of it. It's exciting. You know, it's an exciting place to be.
Do you guys have any last questions?
Can I say something real quick?
Yeah.
One of the things, I forgot what speaker said.
Hi.
Speaker said it now, but he said, how do you know you're going to walk with the Lord 10 years from now? Do you remember him saying that?
That was Max. Yeah.
Was it Max?
Yeah,
okay,
it was Max.
Max,
it was
Max.
It was Max.
Okay. And what was the answer?
Why did you do it today?
Yeah, you said, yeah.
sort of like, yeah, I'm going to like go pitch you all the stuff. And, well, I know if you're not doing those things now, what makes you think that you get to a new environment, it's going to change. Mm-hmm. And then you do it there. Like, you have to do it now.
Yeah, no.
No matter what grade you are, I don't know, you keep telling middle school, I guess it's middle school. But if you're not doing it now, what makes you think you're going to do it when you get to high school? Or what makes you think you're going to do it when you get to college? Or what makes you think when you're in college, you're going to do it afterwards if you're not going to college? So, who has never written their testimony down? Anyone? Anyone not ever written your testimony down? Has everyone in this room written your testimony
down? That guy right there, that guy.
Okay. Take one of those. There you go. Give it to whoever you need to can help you write it out clearly. Anyone else that has never written it down? Okay.
Thanks. Hey,
that's
for your class.
I'll take you to my
school. Yeah. No, that is definitely the last thing I want to say. Some of you guys are like, okay, I'm not going to class for a while. Some of you guys are. Here's the thing. Right now, prioritize your life. Figure out who's your master now. And as you do that, yeah, things are going to be tough in college. But things are tough now. Like, there's different circumstances. So, figure out now who you want to walk with, who you want to be Lord of your life, and make decisions based on that, and make choices based on that. And when you get to college, life, and it's just, okay, I walked with the Lord in high school, and I said he was a master then, and I want to be a master now. So that's just me I want to leave you guys and challenge you with. And we're almost finished, but I actually wanted to split up into guys and girls, and we just want to pray over you guys, and you guys can share specific requests that you might have. And if you don't, that's okay. We're just going to pray over you guys as you guys walk with the Lord and you transition from high school to college or as you stay in high school for a while. That's what we'd like to do. So, any burning questions before we do that? It's okay. Did you have something you wanted to say? Okay. Alright, guys. Thank you for letting us come and speak with you, and we hope that you take something away from it. And we will be praying for you guys as you go in life. And as we finish the conference, we hope that it's been really good for you guys. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.